From the Washington Post today, we learn a term of art from the intelligence agencies, an extraordinary rendition. That, the Post reports, is what they call rendering or handing over a terror suspect to another country for interrogation, typically a country that observes less restraint in its interrogation techniques. In fact, these countries are often friendly to the U.S., but countries which the State Department has faulted for practicing torture. Dana Priest is one of the Washington Post staff writers on this story, and Dana Priest, has the U.S. just decided to farm out interrogations of al-Qaeda suspects to people who won't flinch at torturing them? And if so, how many such cases are there, do you think?
Well, we don't know exactly the number. I don't think they're in the triple digits, at least. I think they've farmed out the ones that are the toughest cases. Certainly the top-ranking suspected terrorists, they don't want to let them slip away, but people who they suspect have plans to hit the United States again, yes, they are, we believe, turning them over to countries who specifically do not treat people the way we do.
Which countries?
Well, the ones we've cited are Morocco, Egypt, and Jordan. I believe there are others that we just didn't feel confident about putting in the paper yet. All of these countries have long-standing records of human rights abuses that has been criticized repeatedly by the U.S. government in the State Department's annual Human Rights Report for the very things that they are being turned over for, their handling of prisoners in detention and the use of torture against them.
When you say torture, what actually might happen to a suspect in Jordanian, Egyptian, or Moroccan hands that wouldn't happen to the same suspect under American hands?
Well, it is such a range of activities, from sleep deprivation, which is probably the lightest form, although the Geneva Conventions say that if you're doing that in order to extract information, that that is a form of torture, to much more egregious things, spraying cold and hot water on people, denying them food, electrical prods.
If these things are not happening in American interrogations, what is happening in U.S. questioning?
In American interrogations, is a form of violence. We have called it violence in the story. We didn't call it torture, but that's left to the reader to decide. It is making somebody extremely uncomfortable, both in the sort of positions that they're put in, kneeling, standing for long periods of time, blindfolded, sensory deprivation to some extent, hoods or masks on their faces. Sleep deprivation is something that seems to be very common. And of course, roughing them up when they first capture them, which is often done by U.S. military forces. The difference in the captivity is this story that we wrote today was about the interrogation in the hands not of the U.S. military, but of the CIA. The big difference is that the U.S. military, we believe, follows more scrupulously the laws of war and armed conflict and does not treat people in the same manner when they're in captivity. Their main reason being that if they're captured, they would like to be treated with international norms. So this is a whole set of prisoners who are in the hands of the CIA or turned over, rendered to friendly intelligence services where the CIA maintains an arm's length relationship with the captive nonetheless.
What do more senior officials in the U.S. government say about all this?
I found the response by the National Security Council spokesman Sean McCormick to be quite instructive, actually. He said first that he would not comment on any intelligence-related matters. He would say that the U.S. government upholds the international law where it comes to its enemy combatants.
There are differing opinions on what you get from very aggressive interrogations in an entirely domestic situation. We've learned that a handful of young men under very, not torturous perhaps, but very strict interrogation in New York confessed to a gang rape that they had nothing to do with. Do people believe that they're actually getting good information from all of these interrogations?
Well, that's a very good point. People will tell you that people will say anything under torture to stop the pain, and therefore it is not a reliable technique. We believe that torture is used as a last resort or to break someone's will and therefore probably of shorter duration.
Well, thanks for talking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Reporter Dana Priest of The Washington Post.